ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Healthmakers interview. The ShareCare Healthmakers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today, we're listening to psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Amen, a brain imaging expert and the founder and medical director of the Amen Clinics. Amen Clinics are the world's largest database of functional brain scans relating to behavior, totaling nearly 90,000 scans on patients from 111 countries. Dr. Amen will be explaining how 3D brain imaging, known as SPECT, is an important tool to help understand, diagnose, and treat mental illness, behavior problems, and brain injuries.
So we use SPECT for a really wide range of things. In little kids, we use it for behavior problems, autism, ADHD, mood disorders that are complicated. You know, I think of SPECT like radar. If something's simple, you know, like the day is sunny, the pilot doesn't need radar, it can land the plane. But if it's stormy, you need radar, you're going to die. So I think in more complicated cases, that's what we tend to see. Autism, ADHD, violence. Teenagers, we use it a lot for addictions. It's actually very powerful to show someone a damaged brain. It's motivating. A lot of people, they look in the mirror and they can see the wrinkles in their skin or the fat around their belly, and they can do something when it's not what they want. But nobody looks at the brain, so they don't know. And the National Institute of Aging just recently revised its staging guidelines. This highlights it really well. So it used to be for Alzheimer's disease. Normal, mild cognitive impairment, or many senior moments, Alzheimer's disease. But based on imaging work like ours, they added this new one. So the first one's still normal. The second one is normal. But your brain's deteriorating, where you have noxious changes in your brain. They call it the preclinical stage, mild cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's disease. Do you see the problem? You're asymptomatic. You don't have any problems, but your brain's deteriorating. And it happens decades before you have any symptoms. If we routinely scan people like we did colonoscopies, we'd have a lot more people going, I'm in trouble. What do I need to do? But because we don't diagnose it, 95% of the time, Alzheimer's disease is not diagnosed until you're in the moderate to severe stages of the disorder. There's not a heck of a lot you're going to do then. You have to get it early. We screened 3,000 people, and we ended up only scanning a little over 100 of them. Mm-hmm. And this was our definition of normal. No psychiatric illness at any point in your life. No first-degree relative with a psychiatric illness, because those things tend to run in families. No brain injuries, drug abuse, and you're not taking any medication. It shocked me. I like to say that normal is a myth. It's a setting on a dryer or a city in Illinois. That if you're struggling, welcome to normal. You know, what's really interesting is your grandmother is going to end up being right, that omega-3 fatty acids that you should take your fish oil are going to be part. We are going to be less crazy about drugs because they've not been the magic bullet we had hoped. In fact, they were unleashed onto the American psychiatric scene in the 1950s, Thorazine for schizophrenia, Ritalin for ADD, and Meprimine for depression. But the disability in our country for mental illness has gone up fourfold. So they've not been the magic bullets. I think what we're going to discover, and a lot of integrative medicine people have been talking about this, is we're going to get your diet right, and we're going to get you to exercise, and we're going to make sure you have the right nutrients. And those are going to be more popular than ever because they actually work. Good habits are thinking about the brain and consciously making the decision to not do things that put it at risk. which means you wear your seatbelt, you drive in a car that has a good safety rating, you eat a low glycemic, high fiber, high quality fat diet. It's just critical. So food is critical. Exercise is really the fountain of youth because exercise boosts a chemical called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that helps you with memory and learning and helps brain make new connections. Gratitude. I love gratitude. If you write down three things you're grateful for every day, within 3 weeks, you'll notice a significant difference in your level of happiness. So exercise, right food, who you hang out with. It's a great study from Stanford. It's called the Longevity Project. They actually evaluated 1,548 10-year-old children in 1921, and then they followed them for the next 90 years, looking at what went with success, health, and longevity. And it was just so stinking interesting, because it wasn't what people would think. You know, the happiest people, they didn't live the longest. The not worried people, in fact, the don't worry, be happy people, died the earliest from accidents and preventable illnesses because they underestimated risks. The people who lived the longest surrounded themselves with healthy people. Your family, your friends have a huge impact on your health. So anxiety and stress are very interesting concepts because you need some or you don't move. So some is appropriate. Low levels are associated with incarceration, which I just find endlessly fascinating. People who have lower heart rates and low sweat gland activity and low activity in their frontal lobes, they go to jail like 4 times more than people who have more anxiety. When it's a problem, when it is causing suffering, so that you end up self-medicating with marijuana or alcohol or gambling or whatever, it's devastating. It's the number one psychiatric illness in the world is anxiety disorders. And so having a regular stress management practice is critical, whether it's exercise or music or prayer or meditation, or one of my favorite ones, the killing the ant exercise. Automatic negative thoughts, the thoughts that come into your mind automatically and ruin your day. In second grade, they should have taught you, don't believe every stupid thought you have. Whenever you feel sad, mad, nervous, or out of control, write down what you're thinking and then question it. We help people do that. It's critical. It's been found. That technique has been found to be as effective as antidepressant medication. Or what we often do with our ADD kids, we call it 5 times 3 times 8, which is every morning, 2 minutes, all it takes. Take a breath, but take 5 seconds to breathe it in. I mean, really take a big breath. And then hold it for 5 seconds. And then take 5 seconds to blow it out. And you do that 8 times. It takes about 2 minutes. It's amazing how it has immediate relaxation response in the body. I really think brain health, it's about really planting some very important pillars in people's lives. So I like the tagline, we're not just playing games with your brain, because diet is critical, exercise, and learning how to manage your stress, focusing on your group. We planted this program into one of the largest churches in the world, and we just found people got better together. That if I get this and put it in my life, then I give it to my wife, she's better. And then if together we give it to our children and we give it to our grandchildren, then what we're doing is we're creating a culture of health.
That was Dr. Daniel Amen from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.